All right, Tabosai, good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is daf Dalet. We are picking up in Yirtzeh Hashem on Gimel Amud Beis, and we left off at Meisve. Which Meisve was that? Six lines up. Okay, Meisve, thank you. So we'll say, so remember again, in the Mishnah, we spoke about the Machlokes, if Beis Din went ahead and issued an erroneous ruling, and then someone acted on that ruling, Beis Din subsequently retracted. So what happens if Halacha L'Maisa, again, Beis Din went ahead and retracted, and afterwards an individual went ahead and still acted upon the original psak. So what is the level of liability in that particular case? Rabbi Shimon says Yepater. Rabbi Eliezer said it's an asham taloi, it's a suffix. Now again, the Mishnah then goes on to explain that even in Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, there's a distinction between if one went ahead and acted on the psak of the Beis Din when one was at home, versus after one had traveled out of the city. If one was at home, then they're expected to know that Beis Din retracted their position. And if one is traveling, however, again, at that point in time, one would be exempt. So the Gemara says as follows, Meisve, par ha'elam davar shal tzibur, resirei avodos kochavim, betchilo govan aleihem divrei b'shem. So it was an interesting discussion about these type of communal offerings. The par ha'elam davar tzibur, sirei avodos kochavim. So we'll say par ha'elam davar min ha'tzibur is something we've been discussing, which is Beis Din issues an erroneous psak. A psak permitting something that had a person done it intentionally with Berech Yiv Karis. Siri Avodas Kochavim is a similar idea, but in the context of Avodah Zarah. So Beis Din is issuing a ruling that permits people to worship Avodah Zarah, obviously in a mistaken fashion. So where does the money for these communal offerings come from? So the Gemara says, B'tchila govern alein de Rabbi Shimon. Shimon says that we make a special collection for it. Rabbi Yehuda Amr Trumas Alishka. Rabbi Yehuda says that you go ahead and you collect it from Trumas Alishka, which means temple funds. So the Gemara says, Amai, Kevan de Gabile Havile Hoda. But I don't understand, according to the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, where you're doing a collection, then what? That means everyone knows about it. In other words, if everyone knows about it, then how could a person ultimately claim ignorance in the fact that Beis Din made an erroneous ruling? Possibility one is that perhaps it was a stam collection, meaning an unqualified collection. They said they were collecting for something, but they did not say what they were collecting for. The other possibility is this particular individual in question was not in the city at the time the collection was made. The other possibility is that Rav holds like a different Tana, the Sanya Ipcha, who has a reversal of the Shitos, but Chila Govan and Rabbi Yehuda, that in this model again it's Rabbi Yehuda who says that we make a special collection. Rabbi Shimon Omer Mitzrumas Alishka Him Govan, Behim Bon. It's Rabbi Shimon says, we'll say in this model, Rabbi Shimon says that Lamaisa again, they go ahead and they collect the money from the Trumas Alishka. Tani, Rabbi Meir Mechayev, Rabbi Shimon Poter. So we'll say, remember again, now going back to our Mishnah. So the case of our Mishnah is, Beis Din made an erroneous ruling, subsequently recanted or retracted the ruling. An individual acted upon based on the original psak of Beis Din. So we'll say, so the shail is, what's liability in that case? Rabbi Meir says, Yechayev, Rabbi Shimon says, Yepater. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Safek. Rabbi Eliezer says it's a suffix, meaning, well, we'll see what that means in just a moment. Sumchus Omer Talui. Sumchus says, literally again, the individual's judgment is suspended. Am Rabbi Yochanan, Asham Talui Ike Benayhu. The nafkamina between Rabbi Eliezer and Sumchus, we'll say, is the obligation to bring an Asham Talui. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, Ike Benayhu, Ben Rabbi Eliezer, Elazar, Lusumchus, Lusumchos eno maybe asham talui. So I'll say, interestingly enough, according to Sumchos, we say this individual's status is a suffix, but he doesn't bring an asham talui. According to Elazar, he brings an asham talui. So the Gemara says, Amrab Zera, Mashad Rabbi Elazar Lamad Ravadome, to what could Elazar's Shita be compared? So remember again, Rabbi Elazar holds that in this case of here, Rabbi Elazar, where Beis Din issued a ruling, retracted the ruling. If individual acted based on the original psak of Beis Din, Rabbi Elazar says he brings an asham talui. So the Gemara says, what could this be compared to? La adam sha'achal safek chelev safek shuman. This could be compared to a person who eats a piece of meat. The piece of meat is safek shuman safek chelev. V'no dalo, And what happens? He's then told, and Rabbi said, at the time that he eats it, he doesn't know that it's Safik Shuman, Safik Chelev. He just thinks that it's a permitted piece of meat. Rashi says over here, it's the last Rashi on the daf, La'adam Sha'achal Safik Chelev Safik Shuman, Varisavar Shashumanu, the Nodel Shasafik Ushemedi Asham Taloi. So such a situation, Rabbi said, a person like this, Crunch Belazar, brings in Asham Taloi. Shemedi Asham. Shemevi Asham. We'll say in this context, Asham is an Asham Taloi. Top of Dalet Amud Aleph. Velomi Boi Leman Da Amar Tzibor Maisi. Now, we'll say, remember again, we saw in yesterday's daf that there's machlokas in a par ha'alam davim in a tzibor. Who is bringing the par? Is it the Beis Din who brings the par, or is it the tzibor who brings the par? Now it goes without saying, Velomi Boi Leman Da Amar Tzibor Maisi Dimefar Sama Milsa. So we'll say, according to the opinion who says that is the tzibor who brings the par ha'elam davar min ha'tzibor. So we'll say the notion that he has to bring an asham taloi is obvious. Why? Because again, in this level, in this state, to free him from complete liability would be a bit strange. Why? Because lemaisa, again, he should have known. Why should he have known? Because the entire tzibor is going ahead and bringing this karban. Ela afil leman damar beis din mevi'in. We'll say, even according to the opinion who says that it's Beis Din who brings the par ha'alam davar min ha'tzibor, where it's not as publicized that Beis Din made an erroneous ruling and retracted it, had he asked, had the individual in question asked, they would have given him the answer and he would have known that Beis Din made an erroneous ruling and subsequently retracted it. I'm Rabbi Yossi, but I've been the team Rabbi Yossi Bar Zvida, Mashal the Sumchos Lamad Davardoma. We'll say, what's the Mashal of Sumchos? Remember again, Sumchos holds that you do not bring in Asham Taloi in this case. To what could this be compared? La Adam Shehevi Ha Kaparosa Bin Ashmashos. We'll say, this could be compared to someone who brings his kapara, brings his carbon Bin Ashmashos. Safik mi ba'o yom niskaperlo. Safik mishecha shecha niskaperlo. So we'll say, ultimately, again, this could be compared to someone who is supposed to bring their carbon by day, ends up bringing their carbon Bin Ashmashos. It's a Safik. Have they achieved kapara or not? She'im mevi'in asham taloi. Such an individual, ultimately, again, would not bring in asham taloi. V'lomi boi leman da'amar beis din mevi'in. And we'll say, according to Sumchos' model, it goes without saying, according to the opinion who says that beis din brings the par ha'alam davar min ha'tzibor, d'lo afar sama milsa, where the individual cannot have been expected to have known what's going on, but even according to the opinion who holds that the tzibor brings the par ha'alam davar min ha'tzibor, demefar sama milsa, ultimately, again, where the matter would have been known, vavu amrina le, dahacha b'safek mi ba'od yom, safek mi shecha shecha. Ishal lo ashkech inesh demeshayla. Because it will say, ultimately, again, even if you hold it, it's the tzibor who goes ahead and brings the carbon. We don't view it as if the person should have asked, hey, why are you bringing this carbon? Because in general, I will say, people don't ask why other people are bringing carbonos. You know, which you could understand, bringing a carbon could be a potentially private situation. And therefore, a person would be much more reticent to ask about why those are bringing carbon. So we'll say, so bottom line, just how do we paskin in this? So ultimately, again, the Gemara seems to paskin like Rabbi Elazar, namely that in a case like this, where Beis Din issued a ruling, And then what happens? Individual acts on the ruling, but in the interim, Beis Din had retracted or recanted that original ruling. Such an individual would bring in karban asham talui. There's no par lehelam tzibor in this type of circumstance, but there would be an asham talui for the individual who committed the infraction. Amar lo ben Azai. So ben Azai said, so also remember again, back to the dialogue in the Mishnah. So Ben Azai says to Rabbi Elazar, I don't understand, why is there this distinction between this individual who is at home versus this individual who sets out in the road? So remember again, the Mishnah answers, because the individual who's home should have what? Should have known that Beis Din retracted their ruling, versus the individual who's traveling is not necessarily obligated to know. To which the Gemara says, Shapir Ka'amarle Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva le Ben Azai. So the truth is, remember again, Rabbi Akiva responds well to Ben Azai. Amarava Hichsik Baderech Ika Benayu. Ultimately, again, the nafkamina between them will be someone, Hichsik Baderech means someone who prepared themselves or began to travel, but has not yet left the city. So the Gemara says, le Ben Azai Chayiv. So according to Ben Azai, if you're home, then you're chayiv. In other words, according to Ben Azir Abosai, the logic is that we don't hold you liable for not knowing that Beis Din changed its mind. If what? If what? If you left the city already. Hichzik baderech rabosai means that if you look at Rashi, Rashi says hichzik baderech levech lemedina sayom vadayin yeshno beir. So I guess the contemporary equivalent would be what? You loaded up the car. So you loaded up the car, hichzik baderech, meaning you are ready to travel, but you're still within the city. So according to Ben Azai, you would be chayiv. Why? Because you're still home. According to Ben Azai, the operative piece of Yerabosei is halacha lemaisa, are you in the city or not? So what happens if you loaded up the car, what we call you're ready to travel, but you have not yet traveled? So according to Ben Azai, you're chayiv. Dehababese isay, Rabbi Akiva Potter, why? Dehahigzik baderech. Rabbosei, interestingly enough, according to Rabbi Akiva, apparently, once you have prepared yourself for travel, you are in the mindset of travel. Once you're in the mindset of travel, then what? Then what? You're no longer really thinking about what's happening in the city. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Ika beinahu. It's in the right-hand column of Rashi, about the three-quarters of the way down. Ika beinahu. Rabbi Akiva Potter, Tahich Sik Baderech, Techevan de Tarotu, Lohaya Afshalo Shiyishma de Chazru Bahen, Hilchach Tola Bebezum Apatla Gamas. Well, this is actually quite interesting. So Nafkamina between Rabbi Akiva and Ben Azai will be a case of Basai where what? I am preparing to travel, but have not yet traveled. According to Ben Azai, your entire liability is rooted in what? In your geographic reality. If you are home, then Lamais, again, we say that you should have heard about the change in Beis Din's position. According to Rabbi Akiva, once you are preparing for travel, you're no longer listening to what's happening in the city, and therefore can't be held responsible if Beis Din changes their mind. Good. Harulo Beis and Lakaras Kalaguf. So we'll say, now, this part of the conversation is what's going to take us now for a little while, which is as follows. The Mishnah says that Halacha Lamaisa, Beis Din is, or I should say, it is only considered to be a parha alam davar min atzibur if Beis Din tries to uproot a detail of halacha. If a Beis Din goes ahead and uproots literally like a section of halacha in its entirety, then the laws of parha alam davar min atzibur do not apply. So let's analyze this. Tan rabbanan. Vene alam davar. So again, when the Torah speaks out liability for parha alam davar min atzibur, so the pasuk says vene alam davar. A matter, literally a davar, is ne'alam, is hidden, or is obscured. Velo sheye akar ha-mitzvah kula. The Rabbi will say, this does not include a case where what? Where Beis Din tries to uproot a mitzvah in its entirety. If Beis Din uproots a mitzvah in its entirety, then the concept of par ha'alam davar min atzibur does not apply. What the Gemara is saying is as follows. Par ha'alam davar min atzibur applies when Beis Din obscures a detail of a mitzvah. But if they uproot the mitzvah in its entirety, this mechanism does not apply. Ketzad, amru ein nida batora, ein Shabbos batora, ein avodas kochavim batora. So we'll say, if literally Beis Din says, there's no such concept as nida, there's no such concept of Shabbos, there's no such concept as avodas kochavim, yachol yuchayavim, and let's say Klal Yisrael acts based on that. You might have thought that then there'd be liability for par ha'alam davar min atzibur, tamud lomar v'ne'alam davar. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk says a davar, a piece of information was obscured. We'll say not if an entire mitzvah is obscured. So the Gemara says, "Veloshet is ali mitzvah kula hara elu pturin." Aval amru, but if they said yesh nida b'torah. Aval habo al shomeras yom kineged yom pater. Rosa, if they said that there is nida in Torah, there is a mitzvah nida, but they made a mistake about a detail of nida. For example, we mentioned this yesterday. A woman who's in her non-nidus day and sees an emission. So the halacha is that she is michuyevas to what? To count one day. So let's say the Beis Din erroneously said that you're permitted to have relations with a woman who's counting that day. Then I will say, ultimately, again, that's grounds, and Klal Yisrael acts on that. The majority of the Kal acts on that. That's grounds for par halam davar min hatzibur. Yesh Shabbos b'Torah. Similarly, again, if the Sanhedrin says there is a concept of Shabbos, aval amotzi mirshus yachad lirshus rabin pater, but if one carries him shusam tirshus yachad, they're going to be pater. We'll say, so that's an example of the Beis Din being oker, uprooting a detail. We'll say those are grounds for par halam davar min hatzibur. Yesh Shabbos kachavim b'Torah, aval mishtacha v'pater. There is a concept of idolatry in the Torah, but if one goes ahead and bows down to idolatry, they will be potter. So yachol yupturin, you might have thought that these are cases where one will be potter. Tamu lomar v'ne'alam davar v'lo kalaguf. Therefore, Bava said, the pasuk says that the par he'alam davar min hatzibur liability is generated when Beis Din makes a mistake regarding a detail in a halacha. But if Beis Din were to uproot a halacha in its entirety, then there is no par he'alam davar min hatzibur. Amar mar, yachol yupturin. So the Gemara says, "V'yachol p'turin." What do you mean? You would have been exempt. V'i became miktsas ubital miktsas p'turin ubaakiras kalaguf p'turin. But my chayavin, I don't understand. If you're going to tell me that if Beis Din uproots a mitzvah in its entirety, you're potter, and it sounds like you're saying that even if they uproot a detail, you're potter. So then, ultimately, again, by my mechayavin, then what is the case of chiyuv? To which the Gemara says, "No. We read the Gemara wrong. Tana halchi kakashile. This is what the Gemara meant to ask." Ema davar kula milsa mashma. I might have thought that davar means what? An entire mitzvah. An entire mitzvah. Talmud lomar v'ne'elam davar. Ultimately, again, therefore the pasuk says, v'ne'elam davar. My mashma, what does that mean? Amar ula kari be v'ne'elam mi davar. Both said, the way we go ahead and we read the pasuk is what? V'ne'elam mi davar, which means that Beis Din's attention was diverted from a detail. And therefore, Beis Din paskin erroneously regarding a detail of a mitzvah, but Beis Din did not uproot the mitzvah in its entirety. Chizki says as follows. Amar Krah, the pasuk says, Va'asa achas mikomitzos. The pasuk says, and they will, Klal Yisrael will go ahead and violate one of the mitzvos, mikol mitzvos velo kol mitzvos. Ultimately, again, from amongst the mitzvos and not the mitzvah in its entirety. But one second, mitzvos tarti mashua. But also the Gemara says, but mitzvos sounds like two. Mitzvos sounds plural. Amar Nachman Bar Yitzchak, mitzvas ksiv. It's true that although it's vocalized as mitzvos, plural, it could be read as what? Mitzvas, which means one. And therefore, again, the pasuk coming to teach me that one is only liable if Beis Din goes ahead and uproots a detail from a mitzvah. Ravashi, Amar Yolef, Davar Davar Mizakin Mamre. So Ravashi says, Mika Gzer Shavav, Davar Davar from Zakin Mamre. Both remember again, who's Zakin Mamre? Zakin Mamre is the Dayon who refuses to yield to the majority and Paskin's halacha based on his personal position in opposition to the accepted psak halacha. What does it say by Zakin Mamre? Ki Pali Mimchad Davar, Lo Sasa Min Hadavar Shegid Lachaya Minusmo. Ma mamre min hadavar velo kol davar, af behora davar velo kol haguf. We'll say, just like by the Zakin Mamre, here we'll say is what is disagreeing on a detail of a halacha, so too by par he'alam davar min hatzibur, Beis Din is only chayiv if they mess up on a detail, not if they try to uproot the mitzvah in its entirety. So just before we go on, that is indeed accepted halacha lemaisa, that the concept of par he'alam davar min hatzibur is only when Beis Din messes up on a detail of a mitzvah. But if Beis Din were to go ahead and what? Actively try to uproot a mitzvah in its entirety, so lemaisa, again, that does not trigger par he'alam davar min hatzibur liability. The Gemara further clarifies this. Amar Rav Yehuda Shmuel, Ein Beis Din chayovin at yoru b'davar shenat zukin modin bo. We'll say Beis Din is only chayiv for par he'alam davar min hatzibur if they mess up regarding something that the tzdukim don't agree to. Ava b'davar shenat zukin modin bo p'turim. But I will say if the Beis Din makes a mistake regarding something that even the tzdukim agree with, then ultimately, again, there is no paralam davar min hatzibur. So remember again, who are the tzdukim? The tzdukim only believed in Torah Shebichsav, not in Torah Shebapah. So what the Gemara is suggesting is as follows. When do we bring a paralam davar min hatzibur? If the Beis Din messed up with regard in something that the tzdukim do not agree to. So what does it mean if the tzdukim do not agree to it? Then what? Then presumably, it is a detail as found in Torah Shebapah. But if the Beis Din went ahead and made a mistake regarding something that even the Tzedukim agreed to, which means what, Rabosai? That it is explicitly stated in the Torah, then there is no par ha'elam darva min atzibur. Why not? My taima, zil kari bei rav. Because what, you know, we say in that case, zil kari bei rav means you should have paid attention in yeshiva. In other words, open up a chumash. In other words, if Beis Din is going ahead and making a mistake regarding something that even the Tzedukim agree with, Rabosai, that means that what? It's an often a pasuk, right? That means that it's a mafurish a pasuk, right? That means that it's written in the Torah. If the Tzedukim agree with it, it means that it's so. Rabosai, if Beis Din make a mistake regarding a pasuk written in the Torah, and the general populace acts based on that mistake, there is no exemption for personal liability, because we say to the Klal Yisrael, what? Open up a chumash, and you should have seen that what Beis Din was doing was wrong, and therefore there's no par ha'elam davar min atzibur. So the Gemara says, Kari Bei Rav, I'm sorry, so the Gemara says, Tanan, Yesh, we'll say first wide line, Yesh Nida Batorah. So for example, let's go through some examples. If the Beis Din says there is a concept of nida as it applies in the Torah, aval haba'al shomeres yom keneged yom pater. Rabbi say ultimately, again, if one has relations with a woman who is observing a clean day, because ultimately, again, she saw an emission, so you're pater. That's their mistaken ruling. But I don't understand. V'amai shomeres yom keneged yom ksiv. The Torah explicitly says, talks about a shomeres yom keneged yom. What does it say? V'safra la melamed shesoferes echad le'echad. But say ultimately, again, it's a mafurish pasuk by Shomeres Yom that a woman who experiences an emission during one of the non-nida days has to observe one clean day. So both say, so that should be a case of where what? Beis Din is making a mistake regarding a halacha, that's what? That's explicit. And yet we're seeing over here that still grounds for parlam davar min atzibur. Da amri hara sharya gemar bihu dasira. Both say the mistake of Beis Din is that Beis Din said hara, which is what we call tchilas bia. Tchilas bia. Right? Shabbos say, so the beginning of bia, without complete bia, so the Beis Din said that is permitted. So the Gemara says, that was their mistake. So gmar bia, complete bia, is what's going to be asr. Hanamik siv. But Shabbos say, that's also mafurish pasuk. Es mikora ha'era. The Amri, so Rabbi says, so what was their mistake? The Amri, kedarka asira, shelo kedarka sharia. Rabbi says, their mistake was saying that only bia kedarka with a shomeres yom kineged yom is aser, but bia shelo kedarka is going to be mutter. So Rabbi says, it doesn't make sense. Haksiv mishkave isha. Rabbi says, we know it's not true. The Torah always equates bia kedarka and bia shelo kedarka. So ultimately, again, if they make this mistake, this is the equivalent of making a mistake with a pasuk that is mefurish in the Torah, in which case there should be no liability for paralim davar min atzibur, to which the Gemara says, darmi kedarka asr afilu ara. So what's the pasuk as follows? That with the shomeres yom keneged yom, kedarka is asr, even by tchilas bia. B'shelo kedarka, gemar bia huda asr. Shelo kedarka, it's only complete bia that's asr. Aval hara sharia, but tchilas bia will be mutter. If that's the case, then why do you have to frame this case as a situation of Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom? Let them have made the same mistake by Nida, Ela Liolam Kidarka. Rather, again, we're talking about Bia Kidarka. Uda Amri Hara Biisha Dava Hu Dechsiva. So the Gemara says this follows. So really, the mistake over here is as follows, that they paskind that ultimately what? They paskind that tchilas bia kiderka with the shomeres yom keneged yom is mutter. That was their mistake. You said before that it's a pasuk, to which the Gemara says biisha davahu dechsiva. That pasuk that you quoted, Rabosai, that tchilas bia is going to be asr, is actually really talking about a nida. It's not talking about a shomeres yom keneged yom. And gufa, that was their mistake. V'baisim, the other possibility is d'amrei zava lohavia ela biyamami. Well, see, the other possibility is they paskin that a woman could only become a zava by day. D'chsiv kol yemei zova. So we'll say, so whatever it is, the Gemara is coming up, either the mistake they made was by paskining that a woman could only become a zava by day, right, based on the erroneous interpretation of the pasuk, or they're paskining that what? That ultimately tchilas bia with is shomeres yom keneged yom will be mutter. But the point over here is, their mistake is in what? Their mistake is in a detail. Their mistake is in a detail. Therefore, again, if someone acts based on this mistake, that would be grounds. They ultimately, again, would be exempted from their transgression because we could go ahead and hinge their transgression on an erroneous psaka based in. Next case. Tanan. Yesh Shabbos Patora Valamoti Mirshus Roshus Pater. So what's again? Another example was based in Paskins. They didn't try to abrogate Shabbos, but what did they say? There's no concept of Hotzah. You carry from one Moshe to another. Gemara says, "Really, va'amai hotzah ksiva." But there's a mafurisha pasuk. There's the exact hotzah. What does the pasuk say? Lo sotziu matza masa. Excuse me, not matza. Masa mi batechem. Right. We'll say now. Interesting enough, this is a pasuk in Navi. The Gemara is still quoting it. So the Gemara, but the point over here is that there's a mafurisha pasuk that says you can't carry on Shabbos. So if Beis Din makes a mistake and Beis Din says that's what that you can carry on Shabbos. So we'll say this should be an example of what? Making a mistake with something that even the Tztukim would agree with, in which case there's no, it's not subject to Parland of Minatzibor, Dami Hotsa Hudasar, Hachnasa Mutter. So we'll say one possibility is they said taking it out from Meshasa Rabin to Meshasa Yachid is Asar, but from Meshasa Yachid to Meshasa Rabin will be Mutter. Vibai same. The other possibility is Dami Hotsa Vachnas Hudasira Moshit Vizorek Shari. Well, see, the other possibility is that Beis Din says it's only taking it out and taking it in, that's usher, but moshit, handing something from one rishus to another, or throwing something from one rishus to another, is mutter. So we'll say, so this would be a case where ultimately what? They're making a mistake regarding a detail. Tanan, yesh avodas kochavim batorah. So we'll say, similarly, again, if they said that there is avodas kochavim, avala mishtacha vepater. But if one bows down to idolatry, they're going to be pater. So one second, the mer talk siva. But bowing down is explicitly written. Dechsev lo tishtachavela el acher. Pasuk mafurisha pasuk. The Amri ki asira shtachavia kiderka. Avashalo kiderka sharia. Both said what the Beis Din Paskin was. Hishtachavia, bowing down is aser. When is bowing down aser? When that's the normative way to worship the idol. But if that's not the normative way to worship the idol, then what? Then the mice again, it's going to be mutter. Vibay seima. Tarmi shtachavia gufa kiderka hu da aser. This may be shtachavia raglaim. Sharia. But the other possibility is, they said, when is bowing usur? When there's total prostration. That's pishut dayim raglayim. But if there's not total prostration, then bowing should be mutter. So we'll say, so on the base. So we'll say, again, remember, what's the take-home message over here? The take-home message is as follows. If Beis Din's mistake in ruling Rabbi Osai fundamentally undermines a mitzvah in its entirety, or Beis Din's mistake is regarding something that even the tzdukim agree with, which Rabbi Osai, if you think about it, those two statements are really the same. Because generally, any mitzvah is going to be explicitly written in the Torah, which means that the tzdukim would agree with it, because it's written. Anytime Beis Din makes a mistake and either totally uproots a mitzvah in its entirety or does something that even the tzdukim know is wrong, then lemaise again, Rabbi Osai, essentially, that type of ruling essentially is what? Is void. And therefore, even if someone were to act on that ruling, they would not be pater. They would not be pater. There would be personal liability. Furthermore, even if the majority of Klal Yisrael acted upon that ruling, we would not bring a par helam davar min atzibur in that case. The only time we bring a par helam davar min atzibur, Rabbi Osai, is when? When Beis Din makes a mistake regarding a detail. And as you begin to see, it's more of a nuanced detail. It's a detail that Tztukim do not agree with, and it's a detail that does not abrogate the mitzvah in its entirety. So let's listen to this kasha. By Rav Yosef. Ein charisha b'shabbos mao. We'll say, what happens at Beis Din Paskins? And they say as follows. They say, Beis Din rules, it is permitted to plow on Shabbos. Permitted to plow on Shabbos. That was their mistake. Mao. What's the halacha? Mi amrino. So we'll say what we're asking. When we say what's the halacha, we're asking, and let's say the majority of the populace acts on this. Is this a par halam davar min atzibur situation? Or Rabbi Osai, remember again, or an individual relies on this psak, plows on Shabbos, do we say that he's exempt because he is relying on a psak of Beis Din? So we'll say, Mao, mi aminan, kevan de kamodu bakulu milsa, kabit lo mitzas, kiyo mitzas dami. So we'll say, do we say on one hand, since Beis Din is not going ahead and uprooting Shabbos, right? They're agreeing with what? The other 38 malachas. They say the other 38 malachas agree. They're just disagreeing with the detail. Then I will say this conforms to the framework of Parah Elam Davar Minat Tzibor, where Beis Din is not trying to uproot the mitzvah in its entirety. They're just trying to uproot the detail. Therefore, again, it should be Parah Elam Davar Minat Tzibor. O Dilma, Kevan Deka Akarion Le Lecharisha Kolikar, Kakiras Kol Guf Dami. Or do we see Rabbi say that what? That since through this psak, Beis Din is what? Is uprooting a whole malacha, then what? It's as if they're uprooting a mitzvah in its entirety. Therefore, again, this is not a par halam davar minat zibor situation. So says the Imar Tashma. Yesh nidba Torah. So remember again, we're going back to the Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? If one of the examples was based in Paskins, there is the concept of nidba minat Torah, aval haba al shomeres yom keneged yom pater. I will say, if a person goes ahead and has relations with the Shomeres Yom Mispater, Va'amai, Ha'akaryon, the Shomeres Yom Kineged Yom Kolikar. And if you think about it, in this case, what is Beis Din effectively doing? They are uprooting the total halacha of what? Of Shomeres Yom Kineged Yom. Right? So we'll say, so what do you see from here? Now, yet, this was an example of a par halam davar minat zibor situation. So you see from here, that's what? Then I will say, as long as you're not uprooting, essentially like this, as long as you're not uprooting the mothership, right? Even if you're going ahead and uprooting a total segment of the halacha, it appears that that is not called oker davar kulo. That's not called uprooting a mitzvah in its entirety, and therefore it's still subject to problems to par halam davar minat zibor. Using this logic, Rabbi Osei, if Beis Din paskin and said that what? That there's no concept of charisha. That sounds like even though they're uprooting a malacha in its entirety, they're not uprooting Shabbos in its entirety. Amr the Chariv Yosef, one second. Shomeres Yom, the Kamina Kiddushin, no. Remember again, we interpreted that case already. What was that case? That was the case that we interpreted was that it refers to really what Beis Din was passing was what? That you could have Tchilas Bia with the Shomeres Yom. Gemar Bia is Aser, Tchilas Bia is Mutter. So we much more narrowed that case that Beis Din Mamish is trying to just uproot a very narrow detail. Tashma. So I was trying to prove it from a different case. Tashma, Yesh Shabbos Batorah, aval emotzi mirushus hayochel rishus rabin potter, va'amai ha'akaryon hotza kolikar. They're both saying, now this seems to be a case where what? Beis Din is uprooting a malacha in its entirety. What are they uprooting? They're uprooting hotza. And yet you see that what? That this still can still be called, this could still be called a par halam davar minat zibor case. To which the Gemara says, Hasam Nami Kiddushaninon. The Rabbi says, but there we answer that up also. No, they're not trying to uproot Hotzah. What are they trying to do? They're saying that you can't throw something from one Rosh to another. Right? So the Gemara says, Tashma, Yeshav Alus Kochavim Batorah. There is a case of idolatry in the Torah. Avala Mishtacha Ve Potter. But if you bow down to idolatry, you're Potter. Ve Amai. But why is that so? Vaha Ka'akaryon Lishtacha Via Kolikar. You are uprooting bowing in its entirety. To which the Gemara says, "Amri Yeshtachavi Nami Kiddushin." Remember again, we clarified that case before. What was that case before? That's a Pishat Raglaim. He says again, it's only if you bow. Beis Din said, it's only if you bow with prostration that it's usher, but bowing by itself without prostration is not usher. So, Rabbi says, so none of these cases seem to be conclusive. So, Rabbi says, remember again, Rav Yosef asked the question. What was Rav Yosef's question? Beis Din comes along and issues an erroneous psak. What's the erroneous psak? Charisha's mutter on Shabbos. You could plow. We'll say the majority of the population plows on Shabbos. So do we bring a par he'elam davar minat zibor in that situation? We'll say, what's the shayla? The shayla is as follows. On one hand, it's Shabbos itself is still intact. They just uprooted a detail of Shabbos. On the other hand, what could one say? They uprooted a malacha in its entirety. So which one is it? So Rabbi Osei, it appears, based on this conversation, that halacha lemaisa, since the concept of Shabbos is intact, the uprooting of one of the malachos is tantamount to what? Uprooting a detail, and therefore halacha lemaisa, if 51% of the population acts upon this psak, it would indeed be subject to a par ha'alam davar minat zibor. So we'll say so again. So therefore, detail, even if a detail is a totally and wholly self-contained kind of subsection of the whole, as long as you have not uprooted the whole, ultimately, again, it's a parallel of a minat zibor situation. We'll say another case. Bayrab Zera. Ein Shabbos v'shias ma'avos is an interesting case. What happens if the Sanhedrin paskins that Shabbos doesn't apply during the Shemitah year? That's it. Now we'll see why they say that in just a moment, but that's a psak halacha. Shabbos Kodesh doesn't apply during the Shemitah year. Mahu. We'll say, now what happens if 51% of the population acts on this? So ultimately, again, is this parhalam davar min atzibor or not? Mahu. B'mayto. So one second. Now let's analyze this for just a moment. So why, how did Bezin make this mistake? B'mayto. So the Gemara says, Bahadin Kra. Now they made the mistake about the following pasuk. What does the pasuk say? Becharish shabakatzer tishbos. The pasuk says, Rabbi say what? Becharish shabakatzer tishbos. Literally, again, when you go ahead and when you plow and when you harvest tishbos, you should rest. Bizman diika charish sheika shabbos. Rabbi say Bezdin Zeronis pasuk was as follows. Bezdin paskin, when you can plow your field, there's a mitzvah of shabbos. Or bizman deleka charish leka shabbos. And ultimately, again, when there is no plowing, there's no Shabbos. So people say this was their mistake. So they thought, when does Shabbos Kodesh apply? Becharish shebekatzar tishbos. When you can plow, there's Shabbos. When you can reap, there's Shabbos. When you can't plow, when you can't reap, i.e. when? During Shemitah, there's no Shabbos Kodesh. That was their mistake. To which the Gemara says, so what's the status of the Pesach Halacha? Mi arminan, kevan demekhaimalei b'shar shani shavua, Kibitl Miktas Vikiyum Miktas Dami. So we'll say, do we see on one hand, look, they haven't uprooted Shabbos in its entirety. What did they do? They uprooted Shabbos when? During 1 year. But during the other 6 years of the Shemitah cycle, Shabbos still applies. Therefore, this is called maintaining the whole, but uprooting a detail. And therefore, again, it would fit into the framework of Par Ha'elam Dav Min HaTzibor. O Dilma, Kevan Deka Akaryon LeBishviyis Kakiras HaGuf Dami. Or maybe we say as follows. Maybe we say, we'll say that no, since for the entire year of Shemitah, we'll say, what have they done? They've uprooted Shabbos, that's considered to be like an uprooting of a mitzvah in its entirety. And therefore, again, there would be no par helam darvim in atzibor liability in such a situation. Ravina says, Tashma, Navishin is nabalakar darvim mi davar Torah, chayiv. Listen to this. If you have a Navi Sheker, a false prophet, and the false prophet goes in and prophesies, and he says, I heard from God, and he tries to uproot a mitzvah in its entirety, he's chayiv misa, lebitl miktas ulekiye mitzvahs. But say, what happens if the Navi says, you know, it takes a mitzvah, and he upholds part of it, but negates part of it? So we'll say, so the Gemara says, midivrei Torah, so chayiv, he will be chayiv misa also, lebitl miktas ulekiye mitzvahs. We'll say, what happens if ultimately, again, Bitl Miktas Kiyam Miktas, so says the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon Omer Potter. Rabbi Shimon says you're going to be Potter. Uba Avodas Kochavim Afilu Omer Hayom Uvda Ulamachar Batla Chayiv. But by idolatry, if he says today, you serve it on Mondays, you know, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Shabbos, you don't serve it. Halosa Bichayiv. Possibly, what do we see from here? Shmamina. So we see from the Navi Sheker that what? That if the Navi ultimately again upholds part of the mitzvah, he's not chayiv mitzvah. So you see, he's not chayiv misa. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? You see from here that ultimately again, negating part of a mitzvah but upholding part of the mitzvah is not considered to be what? A total uprooting of the mitzvah in its entirety. Therefore, Rabbi say halacha lemaisa, if the based in the Sanhedrin paskins that Shabbos doesn't apply by Shemitah, how do we view that statement, Rabbi say? We view that psak halacha as uprooting of a detail, not uprooting of a whole. Therefore, Rabbi say, because it's considered to be uprooting of a detail, right? In Shabbos, Shishis, kibitl miktas, the kiyum mitzvahs dami. We'll say it's considered to be the uprooting of a detail while still maintaining, right, fidelity and allegiance to the whole. And therefore, what if the klal acts upon that ruling? We'll say, what do we call that? That's a parhalam davar min atzibor circumstance. If the individual were to act on it, ultimately, again, they would be freed from liability because we could attribute their actions to the psak of the Beis Din. Beautiful, says the Mishnah. Horu Beis Din. We'll also listen to this case. Beis Din once again issues an erroneous ruling. And what happens? The other Echman Chateau, one of the members of the Beis Din, realizes that they made a mistake. And he says to them, you guys are making a mistake. You're making a mistake. Oh, Shalohayim Mufla Shal Beis Din Shal. What's an interesting case? Or they paskin halach and the Av Beis Din wasn't there. The smartest guy on the Beis Din wasn't there the day that they paskined. Oh, O shahaya echad mehem, or one of the members of the Beis Din was a ger, or a mamzer, or an asin, o zakin shelo royin lebanim. So Rabbi say, oh, one of the members of the Beis Din was a ger, a convert, a mamzer. An asin, Rabbi say, remember again, is one of the members of the nesinim, which is one of those, their conversion is subject to dispute. Or he was an old person. The boss said, this is actually very interesting. Shelo ro'i labanim, who is not fit. Sounds like not fit to father children. We'll say, in this case, hare zepater. So we'll say, in this case, again, the halacha is that ultimately, again, the Beis Din is pater. In other words, the boss said, that this is not considered to be a par ha'alam darva min atzibor circumstance. Why? Yimara says, shene'emar kan ida, v'ne'emar lahalon ida. It says, ida over here. It says Eidah over there. Ma Eidah Amur Lahalon Kulon Ruyin Lahora. We'll say just like Eidah over there, which we'll discuss. Right? It says ultimately again, by Shaftu Eidah, by the Sanhedrin. It says Eidah over there and it says Eidah over here. Ma Eidah Amur Lahalon Kulon Ruyin Lahora. We'll say just like an Eidah over there, but I'm taking out the Sanhedrin. Has to see that everyone is fit to render judgment. Af Eidah Amur Kan Achi Kulon Ruyin Lahora. So to be Rabbi Osai, you're only chayv parlam davar minat zibor of what? If all the members of the Sanhedrin were fit, ultimately, again, to be on the Sanhedrin. So if Rabbi Osai, there are two interesting exemptions over here. The first one we saw already, which is that in order for a par ha'alam davar minat zibor circumstance to be triggered, what has to happen? There has to be unanimity amongst the Beis Din. So remember again, if one of the members of the Beis Din says what? I disagree. They're both saying, now remember again, how does that play out? When one of them says, I disagree, what happens? They go forward anyway. Remember again, they're both saying, the case over here is where Beis Din is issuing an erroneous ruling. Beis Din does not normally need unanimity. Beis Din, the Sanhedrin operates with Rov. So both say, let's play this out. Thank you. So Sanhedrin is adjudicating a case. Whether or not, just to borrow the previous case, does Shabbos Kodesh apply during the Shemitah year? So we'll say, so what happens? So 70 members of the Sanhedrin raise their hand and say, no, it does not apply. One guy says, I hereby voice my opposition. So we'll say, so remember again, let's play this out. So what happens? Well, he's overruled. So the Sanhedrin comes out with a ruling that says, Shabbos doesn't apply during the Shemitah year. What happens, Rabbi Osai? People go ahead, a person goes ahead, or majority of Klal Yisrael, goes ahead and is Mechalo Shabbos, the first Shabbos of the Shemitah year. Rabbi Osai, what's the halacha now? Now, we're going to see what their level of liability is. But one thing is clear, which is, there is no par ha'alam davar min atzibor. Why is there no par ha'alam davar min atzibor? Rabbi Osai, in that case, why? Because the Beis Din was not unanimous. Because ultimately, again, there was one individual who lodged his complaint. Similarly, if we look through the roll call of the Beis Din when they passed that halacha, and it turns out that what? That halacha lemaisa, again, one of the members of that Sanhedrin was a ger, was a mamzer, was a nesin, was a zakin, an old person, we'll see what that means. It sounds like incapable of having children. They're both saying, in this case, again, that is a disqualified Sanhedrin, and again, it would not be subject to a par ha'alam davra minat sibor. So says the Gemara, or for that matter, if let's say the Av Beis Din wasn't present for that psak halacha, also again, I will say, so essentially what the Mishnah is saying over here is as follows, which is that halacha lemaisa, if there's any level of disqualification in the Beis Din, right? So there's really three cases over here. Either the Av Beis Din wasn't present, somebody voiced their dissent, or there was some disqualification amongst one or more of the members of the Sanhedrin. If any of these factors are present, then halacha lemaisa, again, there is no par ha'alam davar min atzibor circumstance. But let's just finish this section. Says the Gemara, O shelo haya mufla shal Beis Din sham. So let's remember again, the first disqualification was the chief judge, right? The chief justice. The smartest guy in the Beis Din was not there. Why is that? We said before that if the Sanhedrin makes a mistake, regarding something that even the Tzdukim agree with. In other words, something that is a Mefurish Pasuk in the Torah, that's not a Bar Halel and Davar Min HaTzibur circumstance. Because we'll say, come on, that's ridiculous. That's just egregious. The Sanhedrin should have known to open up a Chumash. Lohaya Mufla Shal Bezin Sham Nami Peturin. Similar, we'll say, if the Chief Justice wasn't there, there's also no Bar Halel and Davar Min HaTzibur. Why not? Because it will say, in that case, that's an inexcusable error. David, I was going to call you. Right? So what happens? You owe me asara zuhuvim. I was going to have Hashavas Aveda. Now,
everyone must have been really had their heads in the Gemara saying, what's that for a lot of people?
Baruch Hashem. Thank you. So says the Gemara. So too, if the Av Bezdin, if the Chief Justice wasn't there, then what Rabbi will say? That's essentially like the equivalent of a Bezdin making an erroneous ruling regarding something that's explicitly written in the Torah. In other words, Rabbi will say that they have an obligation to consult with the Av Bezdin. If you don't do that, that's considered to be egregious, and therefore, again, there's a fundamental flaw in their adjudication process, and therefore there's no par halam davar min hatzibur in that circumstance as well. Namar sham eida v'namar kan eida, ad shikulan ruin lo'ra, v'hasam yon. So we'll say, again, remember, where do we know in general that the members of the Sanhedrin have to be genealogically unblemished? So we'll say, that's the psul of a ger, of a mamzer, of an asin. Ultimately, again, there's a genealogical blemish that's there. So how do we know that ultimately, again, the members of the Sanhedrin must be genealogically pure? So the Gemara says, "V'hasam inalim damar Rav Chista." Also, we've actually seen this before. Damar Rav Chista, Amekra, v'esyatz v'sham imach. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu when speaking about the members of the Sanhedrin, "They shall stand beside you, imach." Moshe, they have to be like you. Just like you're genealogically unblemished, so too they have to be genealogically unblemished. Maybe that's not what it means. Maybe I will say what it means is as follows, that ultimately, again, they stand with you vis-a-vis the Mishkan. That the same way you, Moshe, can't go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they can't go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim as well. To which the Gemara says, Ela Amram Nachar Bar Yitzchak Amakra V'nosu Itcha. Or itcha, I should say, itcha bedomen lecha. We'll say ultimately again. You're right. There's another pasuk. The nasu itcha, they shall carry it along with you, which represents the judicial burden. Itcha means it's with you. It's with you. Ultimately, again, Moshe, just like you are genealogically fit, so too they have to be genealogically fit. I'll show you something fascinating. So I understand the mamzer, the ger, and the nasu. Okay, I understand because if it's an issue of genealogy, there are genealogical issues. Fine. We'll say, what about the zaken? So if you look, there's a fascinating Rashi. Rashi on the right-hand column, it's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 lines of the Bible. Actually, we'll say, I was very excited about this. I'm disappointed. I wrote up this whole shtickle in my Rambam, and now, all right, I'll have to find it here. Okay, good. So we'll say, so listen to this. Fascinating Rashi. Rashi says, O zakin shein roi labanim, v'kashili mipnei ma'ein roi lahora. Clear the Rashi. Rashi says, I have absolutely no idea why this guy is not fit for Hora. Remember again, the Mishnah's case was Zakin She'in Ra'i Labanim. So if you notice again, Rashi's girsa itself is already a little bit different. The Gemara says, Shelo Ra'i Labanim. Right? Rashi has it She'in Ra'i Labanim. And Rashi essentially says, I have absolutely no idea. I have no idea as to why this person is unfit to serve and on the Sanhedrin. Now, I will say, I want to show you something amazing. So listen to this. The Rambam in Hilchos Shkagos, Perek Yud Gimel, Halacha Aleph, quotes this halacha. So the Rambam says, for example, so when is there no par ha'alam davar min hatzibur, v'lo haya rosh yeshiva imayin, right, the Rambam calls the Av Beis Din Rosh Yeshiva, o shahaya echad mehen, eino roi lios memuna b'Sanhedrin. Or Rabbi said there was a member of the Sanhedrin who was unfit to serve in the Sanhedrin. Also, there's no par halam davar min hatzibur in that circumstance. What are examples of that? Kigon shahaya ger o mamzer o zokim shelo ra'a banim. Rabbi said the Rambam changes the girsa. Shelo ra'a banim means what? Never had children. So according to the Rambam, this means someone who never had children. So Rabbi said, why is someone who never had children unfit to serve on the Sanhedrin? Rabbi says, listen to this. So the Lechem Mishnah is actually very exciting. The Lechem Mishnah says the following, O Zakin Shelo Rabbanim, He says, "Begirs the don isa b'mas nisan ozakin she'ino ra'i lebanim." So I'll say, interestingly enough, the Lechem Mishnah has a third girsa. You see, the Mishnah's girsa is shelo ra'i lebanim, shelo ra'i lebanim. Rashi's girsa is she'in ra'i lebanim. The Lechem Mishnah is she'ino ra'i lebanim. V'Rabbeinu nira da hayagoris zakin v'shelo ra'abanim. Umefayu shabeinu detarti ka'amar zakin o shelo ra'abanim. But it's like the Rambam is saying that there's two people who are disqualified. It could either be a zakin, someone who is old, o shelo ra'abanim, or someone who did never had children, never had children. Mishun the perish the perakak mundin. Mamar, so skip a little bit. He says de'ein mamanim b'sanhedrin. Because I will say, he quotes over here from Rambam and Hilchos Dinei Mamonis. Because again, the in Mamunim B'Sanhedrin, lo zakin muflag bezikna, you cannot appoint to the Sanhedrin someone who is very old. Velo mi she'in lo banim. Shemi she'in lo banim, eino rachaman. Well, say, listen to this. This is amazing. Someone who never had children is missing a certain element of compassion. You see, by definition, if a person has children, they understand a certain midah of rachmanis that is necessary for going ahead and raising children. Someone who never had children just doesn't understand this midah of rachmanis. Doesn't understand this midah of rachmanis. Umishu zokim shachach kivar tsar gidel banim. And I will say, somebody who is very old also has forgotten the trials and tribulations of child rearing. But say, what is the Rambam saying? The Rambam is saying that in order to sit in the Sanhedrin, you ultimately have to have what? You have to have Rachmanis, right? You have to have Rachmanis. And the problem is, where do most of us learn our midah of Rachmanis? What Rambam is saying? From parenting, from raising our children. Therefore, the Rambam ultimately says, "Mishu zakin shachach kvar tsar gidel banim." The Kasher Abinu Zal beparapesil called Sanhedrin. Okay, so Lechem Mishnah has a whole arichos on this, which is quite amazing. So we'll say what comes out is as follows. So Rashi says, "I don't understand the Kasheli mashein rai lahora." So we'll say, so it could be. Lechem Mishnah says, "I don't understand why Rashi doesn't understand this because actually, again, I will say the Lechem Mishnah points out that the Gemara elsewhere seems to make explicit references to this idea that we don't appoint a zakin muflag, a very old person, to the Sanhedrin. So the Lechem Mishnah, by the way, why does Rashi say, I don't understand what's happening here? So we'll say it could be that what's happening over here is as follows. That Rashi understands the girsa of the Mishnah, O zakin shein ra'i labanim. That ultimately, again, Rashi doesn't understand why the Mishnah would say zakin shein ra'i labanim. Let's say somebody who's old, who's incapable of fathering children. So it sounds like what Rashi's saying, the way Rashi understands the Mishnah, is who is the Mishnah disqualifying Rabbi Osai? Somebody who's impotent. So Rashi says, I don't understand why somebody who's impotent is possible to serve in the Sanhedrin. Meaning, what does the ability to father children have to do with anything? That could be Rashi's kasha. The Lechem Mishnah therefore comes along and says, therefore the Rambam changes the girsa. The Rambam's girsa is, O zakim shelo ra'abanim. So we'll say, and the Lechem Mishnah understands, then the Rambam's girsa is two people. A zakim, which the Rambam understands as a zakim muflag, someone who is very old, O shelo ra'abanim. Those are two different people, I will say. Or someone who has never had children. What's come down there between a zakim muflag, someone who's very old, and ultimately, again, someone who's never fathered children? What's the common denominator, I will say? They both, quote-unquote, forgot Tsar Gidel Banim. They both have no frame of reference to the difficulty in raising children. The Zakin Muflag, because he's very old, and the one who never had children, because ultimately, again, he never had children. What's the disqualification, I will say? It's amazing. In order to sit in judgment of another Jew, you have to be a Baal Rachmanus. And Chazal felt, you can't be a Baal Rachmanis if you've never had to deal with the trials and tribulations of raising your own children. Only if you have the Rachmanis and your own children, ultimately, again, can you sit in judgment of the Ribono Shel Olam's children. I will say, but again, an incredible lesson, an incredible Musar, about how careful one has to be with judgment of the other. I will say, this is saying, even members of Sanhedrin, who were incredibly great and pious people, we go to great lengths to ensure that they will always judge the other with Rachmanis, always judge the other favorably, and of course, the take-home message to us who don't sit on the Sanhedrin, who aren't as great tzaddikim, who aren't as wise as the members of the Sanhedrin, how careful and sparingly we have to be when it comes to judging the other. Right, let's just step over here.
Rashi qualifies why this is possible, the suffering is not suffering mukhlag.
Correct. The way Rashi seems to say is that the Mishnah is passing someone who is a zakein, who, by the way, might have had children already, is not a zakein muflag, but the psul seems to be because he can't presently father children. So because he's impotent now, he can't father. Why?
He hasn't forgotten it, so he's not that old.
Correct. So he's not a zakein muflag. He may have already had children, but because he can't father children now, that's what's bothering Rashi.
And so the Rambam has a different girsa, which answers that question, because in Echanami, it's not talking about.
So correct. So meaning the Lech Mishnah says, Rashi, by the way, Rukash is right. Rukash is right. But you have a wrong gears of the Gemara. So that's why the Rambam has a different gears of the Gemara. So, meaning, Rashi's kasha is legitimate, because everyone would agree that just because someone can father children now, he has children, that's it, he's not like, what's like cancer?
It's cancer. The Gemara of Anala says that Siddiq and Armoda to all those drasas about Mishka Vayisha and the